Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Monday stream. Apologies on last week, we didn't stream on Thursday because I've been a bit ill, but I'm feeling better today. So we're doing basically what we're going to do on Thursday today.
Yes.
But I'm of course joined by our regular Monday co-host,
Hey,
Evelyn.
this is my stream. It's Monday. It's Evelyn's corner.
It's I was going to say it is Evelyn's corner. This is Evelyn's stream. AKA Starman and the Zoomer, AKA when we have Hat on the Monday moon, if we can get him again
Yes.
to do a bit of a blathering stream.
And no,
But this
I do
is
need to knock up a thumbnail for that. I think A will be quite pleased with the aesthetic.
Ooh, aesthetic. Before we start though, we'll just do some normal YouTubey things if we can. We are still running our sales for our Nomos event
Indeed we
in
are. I'll chuck
oh
the
excuse me
link in the chat.
in October. Well, this month in a
Yep.
few weeks, you can still buy tickets for it. It is in Central
Beat me
London on
to
the
it.
29th of October. We'll probably show this again at the end because we tend to have different viewers cycle in and out. But that's still going on. We've done pretty well. We've sold about half the tickets. There's gonna because a lot of people live in London. I expect there'll be quite a lot buying later than last time because a
Yeah.
lot of people don't have to book accommodation. So,
I've definitely seen a few more people speaking about it, so there is a bit of a buzz growing, which is always good.
yes. I'm hoping to make a bit of a push tomorrow. I need to send out another email. I've just been a bit ill and not able to be compos mentis with it. Yes, YouTube does that. Ben in the chat there. I always encourage people when they're watching these VODs as well. If you are watching us live, at the beginning of the stream, just refresh. It will solve all your problems. We tend to go live on the hour, basically to the second. We're sometimes like maybe 30 seconds late at most. We do pride ourselves on our promptness with these streams. But if you ever have trouble with the stream starting, refreshing is your friend. We are still monetized. And the best way to donate to us is still Streamlabs. So I will put that in the chat there. We also have super stickers, super chats, and you can become a channel member if you want to support us on a regular basis. A lot of that's been creeping up, actually. I think the US exchange rate is helping us, but we generally, from like regular memberships, donations, YouTube premium stuff, it's creeping up. It's above $100 a month we make. Which, it's
That's
not a lot, but
well,
it's
it's a
nothing to sneeze
start.
at,
I
so.
think not to go back into it, it's something we kind of discussed a little while back that we do actually spend a bit of time in some of these, and I like to think we bring people stuff that maybe you might get elsewhere, but not quite to the depth or clarity that we sometimes show all the way through. As you like to say, we like to go through the whole how the sausage is made process, and
Yes.
with some things that can be done relatively simple because we have other background knowledge. With some other ones, it takes a bit of while. So, I mean, this is something I've spoken about for a couple of weeks now in a couple of different places about wanting to do this. And then, chipping away a bit of time here and there, we have come across enough sources, we think, to at least get more people thinking about it. Not that people aren't thinking about, I suppose we might want to get closer to saying what we're actually looking at here today. It's not so much, wider immigration, but a specific element, and that's integration, which was something that, I learned in what we had referred to as modern studies in school. Oh, well, the idea of immigration is integration, or is it a melting pot, or the salad bowl, or whatever it was, and these were the two kind of models they give you. But after that, I've never really heard it much. And I think there is a reason why we haven't really heard of it, because as we're about to get into, there is actually academic literature that's been around for a couple of years now at this point, essentially critiquing the idea of integration. So there is now a way in which they are sort of readapting all the language. And this isn't just, not just a few academics, this is big policy institutes, projects that are working directly under the helm of the EU, think tanks at universities.
governments.
Yes. Well, we'll get into the funders as well of these projects, which gets even wider. But clearly, there is a shift here to communicate at a higher level to those who are in the know that, you know, there is a new approach to this language, there is a new approach to these policies, and yes, I don't know, I think
I will, yeah,
I'll I don't know, I can let you carry on.
yeah, the impetus for this was, like you said, was you looking for where the modern kind of civic nationalist, in quotes, concept of immigration came from, and how it's been modified and how we think of it now. Because if you look at the language around immigration during the Blair era, let's say, in the UK, you will see a lot of downplaying of numbers and a lot of kind of upplaying of the idea of integration, that these people are coming to Britain and becoming British.
Not to fully derail you, we can get back to that, but it's almost sort of related in a sense. I think I remember another thing that got me onto it was when the whole, essentially, race riots were kicking off in Leicester. Daily Mail were talking about how it's, you know, integration is failing, or it's, you know, there is not enough integration. And I sort of sat there and thought for a moment, you know, if they're saying there's not enough of that, then maybe integration isn't the solution at all. But why is it that, you know, the Daily Mail is making that claim? You know, why is it that there is, one, still that language? I mean, of course, we know they can't go on to say the fact that ethnicity and culture are inherently connected concepts.
Yeah.
But what they can do is try and work around them, or essentially sort of deny or try and neutralise those elements or those arguments and approach it in a completely different fashion, which will seem alien when we talk about some of the language in this, but at some point it will click what they're getting at here.
I hate to say it, but what some of what is being proposed is absolute genius. It's very, some of this must have come from like the Tony Blair Institute or something, because some of it is, it's incredibly evil. But when you look at what they're trying to do and the gambit that they're trying to pull, it is politically amazing.
If people remind us in the chat, once we've got through the stuff we've got here, we can maybe do a quick like Tony Blair Institute roulette. We can place bets, yeah, and see if he's got articles on there that are talking about the same stuff.
Probably will do. Let's start at the beginning though. Let's start with our first link here that you found and came up with. A lot of this is your research. I will continue to credit you, since this is your show. This is your Monday show.
Well, yeah,
but this is from the Migration Policy Institute, and it's entitled,
yes,
"The Changing Concepts Around Immigrant Integration." We're kind of going from thin end to thick end of the wedge here, which is a kind of a nice trajectory to take. But do you want to quickly explain what this one is?
Before I explain it, I might, just to make people understand where these people are standing, because I believe this is centred in Canada, possibly, but as it argues, as it does here in their header, that they are fresh, global, and authoritative.
That's so bad.
But yes, they've got quite the funder list. Inter-American Development Bank, I found them earlier on, there was Rockefellers, Open Society Foundations, Chicago Council on Foreign Relations, other foreign governments, the Ford Foundation, Rockefeller again there.
It's the entire shopping list.
Yeah, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Walmart, Kellogg, World Bank, World Health Organization, and then for anyone that was there when we did the one on the Drag Queen Storytime stuff, there's the Zellerbeck Family Foundation as well.
Yep, it's a full bingo.
Mm.
Their funders list is a full global bingo.
Yes.
It is amazing. There's so many, like, you've got government of Italy, government of Mexico, government of Moldova sat here next to, like, Unite Here, which I think is a labor trade union organization in Canada, but you have that right next to the Open Society Foundation, you have that right next to the Rockefeller Foundation. Like, why is a union organization in lockstep with the Rockefeller Foundation, which is in lockstep with the German government, which is in lockstep with the Spanish government? Which it's just an amazing list of what should be politically disparate organizations who are all funding this one organization who's coming out with what is, we'll see later, a lockstep narrative about how the future of integration will be. And this,
Well,
you'll see it,
I'm gonna
different
start
language
with
around it,
one of the
but the.
lines in the first paragraph in the article here. Governments have mostly moved away from viewing the process as one of assimilation. This is where they're discussing here about integrating in, learning a language, going to the school, becoming a part of the workforce, engaging with community institutions, blah blah blah. Governments have mostly moved away from viewing the process as one of assimilation, in other words, the responsibility of newcomers alone to conform to the dominant national culture. Nowadays, immigrants and host societies are encouraged to cooperate and shape a more supportive community for the entire resident population. We'll carry on further here because it starts to
Well, that's
become more and more obvious what they're
to
asking
pick that
is.
apart. Yeah, a little bit there. So it's just to reread that. In other words, the responsibility of newcomers alone to conform to the dominant national culture, immigrants and hosts. It's what they're doing there is a soft version of what we'll see even more explicitly in other articles. But what they're saying is that integration is now a process that not only the new populations go through, but the existing populations have to go through. It is an admission that immigration is culturally and like society transformative, that it the process of absorbing these people has to, the burden has to fall on you as the native population. And you know, it frames it in a way where it seems about fairness. You know, the responsibility of the newcomers alone, they're making it look like, well, we have to meet the immigrants halfway.
Well,
That
yeah,
is the precept of the language here.
they then pull another sort of not switcheroo per se, but another sort of categorization at the bottom one of the next paragraphs. While naturalization can mark immigrants' full legal and political integration into a country, it may not reflect their sense of belonging in a community. So now, if you are, this is almost essentially suggesting that if you are an ardent isolationist for your own community, this is now a humanitarian crime. Because the immigrants don't, they may be legally naturalized, which is all that really mattered in policy wise before, but now they've got to there's got to be this cultural bridge between the migrant and the host society, which I think as we will continue to look further and think on, really means cultural imperialism. Because
Yes.
it goes further. From assimilation to immigration, sorry, integration, the making of a two-way process. Concept of integration as a framework for understanding newcomers' experiences evolved over much of the 20th century and now often views the process as a two-way street in which migrant and host community learn from and adapt to each other. It was preceded by the notion of assimilation, which promoted the view that immigrants alone needed to adapt to the receiving society's dominant culture by shedding their pre-existing cultural identities to fit into their new community. It was a one-way process that assumed host societies did not learn from or adapt to new arrivals, and did not value the unique experiences, cultures, and knowledge that immigrants bring.
It's a complete reversal of the last 50 years of immigration rhetoric. It's a big, well, because it's already happened, because the horse has already bolted. They're now saying, well, now all these people are here. Actually, all that stuff we said about these people becoming British isn't true. Britishness will simply cease to be, and we will be an internationalist society, in which people just live here, and that the Britishness is purely a legal fiction, and there is no cultural or ethnic aspect to it. That's really what this is, the final version of. And again, it'll become much more explicit as we go on with this. But that's the rhetoric here is identical across all of these, where they talk about the fact that we were sold immigration as workers that will help our economy, who will adapt to our society and become British. You know, that they will become what we are, and that they will, they've made an effort. All these people have come here, they try and be British. Oh, that's all the rhetoric has been for the last 50 years, ever since the Windrush generation. But now we see the admission, the full admission, that there will not be this process, that this process is indeed fictional. And to an extent, it always was, because the idea that you move a disparate population into a country and then you completely strip them of their identity and like re-inject them with this weird fake nationalism is completely one wrong and immoral. It's something that we and why you had communities that were mobile but never accepted, merchant communities, things like that, in the rest of history, pre-1900. What is why those communities remain separate and generally returned home after a period of time? Because this process doesn't work. You can't integrate massive amounts of immigrants into a society. It doesn't, that process that we were sold doesn't function. And now they're selling us, they're admitting this, but they're selling us something ostensibly worse for the host population. Oh, sorry, we also have a $5 donation here from Mr. Glow in the Dark. Thank you, Chloe. We should ask our leaders what benefits do we get from becoming a minority in our own country. Most times in history, it causes great harm. Well, yes.
Well,
Sorry, is there any more of this you want to cover?
no, because I want to then make a sort of an adjacent point to A's model, the octopus and his three groups, were the technocrats and the third worldists, the George Soros, the open borders folk, were opposing groups. Now, here is a World Economic Forum. We need to talk about integration after migration. Here are four ways we can improve it. Now, I believe, and here, if I remember correctly, they go on to essentially admit this exact same idea, that, well, it's not just about whether or not the migrant is naturalized, or, because you can't just assume they're going to adopt to the host culture. That's not okay. You can't be having that. So instead, we need to reconsider it and have this two-way process where there is obviously, as they refer to, an adapting. But I think we all know what this means.
There's this weird graph here, which I like, which is the economic impact of refugees in Germany, where they basically admit that these people are a massive net drain, and basically will be for the next 20 years. They talk about their optimistic scenario, but there's again, this is very line go up vagary, and you can see that it's skewed towards an idea of, well, there will be long-term benefits because we say so. It's really funny that they're couching this in the empiricoid terms,
Well, yes,
that, well,
that was a reason why I wasn't going to go through the whole other article and why we might not go through the whole of some of these papers, because this is all why it's kind of difficult to find this stuff, is a lot of it's couched or hidden behind big academic bits about epistemology and, oh, they're using the wrong metrics, and social science stuff is mainly wank. Really, what I want to indicate here is, these specific terms about immigration, integration, assimilation,
yes.
what do they mean when they talk to one another when they use these terms? And when they say them to us, do they use the same definition? Do they use a different one? Are we seeing the Mott and Bailey for these terms being constructed before us, where Liz Truss is going to go up and say, yeah, the problem with immigration is that we're just not integrating them well enough, and all the Tory boys are about, oh yeah, we'll get them worshipping King Charles. But actually, what she means is the problem is yous, won't put up with that, having foreign folk and sort of, be imperial with their culture upon you in your own lands. But that'll just happen anyway, because that's integration, at least according to them.
Where's the bit in this where it talks about the two-way street then, about adapting the host country?
I believe it is in here somewhere. I might be wrong in that, but I just also thought it was interesting that the WEF was weighing in on a subject as well.
This is back in 2018, and it has softer rhetoric, you will notice. But this is a bit more hand-wringing than the one we just read, which
Yes,
is
I
from
mean, because
2021.
they have other stuff in here, they're almost like getting it ahead of the boat. In the Netherlands, for example, nationalist political movements have successfully weaponized concerns around integration, manipulating mainstream parties into adopting policies that are much less friendly to migration and to migrants. They're saying over here, support for generous migration policy crumbles where migrants exist or are perceived to exist outside the social and cultural fabric of the receiving community. My God. Really? The receiving community.
Odd. Is it just that language there?
Receiving communities need help. They don't have.
cost of incident. Basically, what they're saying is, this is terrible. There needs to be a... That is, again, it's a very therapeutic state.
Mm.
We have created a problem. Uncontrolled mass immigration. The solution is more funding for us.
Yeah, here we go, here we go. Most importantly, integration must be presented and experienced as a two-way process, a partnership between the community and the migrant. We have seen that when the partnership is the agreed starting point, relationships are transformed. Migrants become more the passive objects of charity, and communities become more the unwilling cogs in a policy machine of which they do not feel part.
Oh, I don't know how they could avoid that. That's basically what they're saying needs to happen, is that these communities never wanted these people here. And you're
that's exactly what they're saying here. Like, no, you would just take these people. You're having them.
There's some hand waving here where above where it says receiving communities need help, it talks about in the Netherlands, nationalist political movements have successfully weaponized.
That's, I did bring that bit up around, earlier on.
Yeah, yeah, around integration, manipulating mainstream parties into adopting policies that are much less friendly to migration and migrants. It's just the idea that they're these elements that are manipulating this neutral process.
Mm.
A lot of the language here is about the neutrality of all of this.
Yes.
And as we'll move forward, what we are seeing here is a resetting of where the neutral point is. As someone said in chat, first of all, we were told that they would come here, make money and leave.
Mm.
Second of all, we were told that they would come here and become indistinguishable from the British population. And now we're being told that we, as a country, must entirely transform ourselves and become this ideal host nation, this ideal receiving community, and that we must transform as much as they must transform.
I mean,
and we will become
that's what I mean,
kind of
though,
synthesis.
In that view of where the agenda for the third world is the technocrat, are in some, I suppose in some ways they're maybe at odds, in some ways they can be in cahoots, and maybe that differentiates at other times. There needs to be more thinking about it, I suppose. But you know, the fact that they are, I think of the term I should use here, really. You know,
they're in alignment in many aspects.
They view you as the receiving community. That is what your Western nation is. That's all it is. It is classified as the receiving community.
It's extremely Borg language. What it is, you know, they are the collective of people.
I think the choice of the word receiving is also probably extremely deliberate.
Yes.
There's another quick one here as well from this is the Migration Observatory at the University of Oxford that gets funding again, you know, your Joseph Rowntree Charitable Trust, Barrow Cadbury Trust, Economic and Social Research Council, the Diana Memorial Fund. That's what she did when she sold all those plates.
The People's Princess.
This is where all the People's Princess's plate money went. But again, they've got, again, these very similar ideas. Brief introduction of what is integration, you know, what are the problems of it, what are the targets of the policy, how should it be changed, how was it through history,
I'll just read the boilerplate stuff together here. The term integration can be used in academic and policy debates to mean different things. Historically, integration was often seen as a one-way trajectory. Then it says, now the term now commonly used in analysis is thus that integration is a two-way process, in scare quotes for some reason, or three-way, taking account migrants' continuing transnational connections. Oh no, I don't want to be a three-way receiving community.
Well, see, that's actually interesting, because you've gone from two-way cultural imperialism, three-way no culture. You are just, you know, you are the people that accept the wanderers.
Yes. The association of integration, nevertheless, with expectations of assimilation and the way in which its use can project migrants as separate or other means use of the term by researchers and policymakers remains controversial. So even though they're trying to wholesale redefine integration as this two-way process, that it was never, you know, that's not what integration is. If you are integrating one thing into another thing, that thing changes to integrate within it. What you're talking about there is like transformation or really synthesis.
Mm.
There. It's again, and we're getting into Hegelianism again, but they talk about it being a series of process, participation in the labor market, social institutions. It's very much the managerializing of human communities to an extreme degree, and that's what we get here. But you're right, a lot of this is very, very boilerplate. Conclusions, blah blah blah. But really, there a lot of this is the redefinition. It's the to put a punditry example on it. It's the racism equals prejudice plus power thing, but with the term integration, they are redefining the term integration of immigrants as a situation in which the country transforms to integrate them, rather than them transforming to integrate into the country.
Yes. And essentially, this is, as maybe people are beginning to work out, a massive roundabout way, now that all the migrants are here, to completely erode any academic foundation for a British identity or a European identity of whichever one, whichever flavour of European you are. Because
All of the things we've been through
I just
are
want to
relatively
read,
boilerplate,
yeah,
yeah.
this is from the Becoming a Minority Project, directly
This,
funded by the EU. It's got a .eu web address to it.
and it has a European Research Council logo at the bottom, which is teeny tiny. They kind of try to hide it, weirdly
But I
enough.
just want to read the first part of the sentence here on their project that they're talking about. The BAM project will look at the lives of people without a migration background living in ethnically diverse neighbourhoods where everybody belongs to a minority now.
It's just that last that everyone belongs to minority now is so like chilling. But yeah, it's the BAM project, Becoming a Minority, which
Just the.
what they're doing here is basically great replacement theory from the other direction. It's kind of amazing because what they're saying is that in harbor cities, they talk about Rotterdam, Antwerp, and Malmo, which are shitholes. They talk about service sector cities, Amsterdam, Hamburg, and Vienna, which are basically like rich people playthings, and that's the only way they get by because that's where the
Well, no,
technocrats
the
spend their
I'll
money.
say people, some people in the chat are picking up the minority part, but for me, it's the people without a migration background. That's you. That's you as a
That
native European.
that's
You are now a
yeah.
PWAMB, a
Well,
PWAMB or whatever.
the language game here is amazing because they're flipping where the neutral position is. It's now you are without something. So if you are without something as a default, then the default is
Well,
people with it.
it goes even a level higher in it. You can sort of suggest that they are almost trying to say that it is only in being transitory that you have an identity. It is
It's just.
by being a migrant, you get the status of a group.
Well, they can't use the term native. They can't use the
You
term.
can only, do you know what it is? You can only ever be a place, or sorry, a person from a place you're not allowed to live in. So you can be,
Yes.
you can be Syrian and be as Syrian as you want, but you've got to
Yeah.
do it in England.
It's just that euphemism of people without a migration background. Yeah, those are the native people of that country. Those are the
Yes, as someone
existent
saying in
communities.
chat, whether cis comes to mind, I think it's very much like that, but I think this will probably have more traction to it.
Yeah.
Because it seems, we are used to the term integration somewhat, and I could see articles like the Guardian, sorry, outlets like the Guardian and opinion articles putting forward this language. What is it like to be someone who lives in London who's not an immigrant? Being that it's novel now, because if you go to their homepage on this website, we'll get back to their project thing in a little bit, but they list two statistics. At the bottom of their site, 46% of the population of Malmo has no migration background. 33% of those aged 0 to 19 in Antwerp have no migration background.
It's the reversal. You could actually structure this website. This is why it took me a few minutes to realize that this wasn't some like clever like white nationalist website that was trying to do the great replacement from the other direction. It almost feels like this could be a play for an audience that is skeptical because of how just out front it is with all this stuff. It is so like balls to the wall
God,
with it.
this is, it actually gets almost so funny. Yeah, I see what you mean. Part of the research is an international survey among people living in neighborhoods where everybody now belongs to a minority, majority, minority neighborhoods. How do people engage with each other in these neighborhoods? Do they experience conflicts? And if so, what are these about? As if we haven't seen like constant ethnic warring across Europe. Yes, yeah, no, I see you made it so naive. This is
It's great. It again, it almost feels like a parody. It feels like they're nodding towards it. But just the language there of the majority minority neighborhoods, the people without migration backgrounds. It's the, you know, becoming a, it's all of this language that's repeated ad nauseum in all in this project that is a very, very clear attempt to, like I said, redefine the neutral position of everyone is a minority, everyone's an immigrant. Like, this is why I wrote that whole American disease article. It gels quite well because this is the American psyche. This is the nation of immigrants brain. This is your brain on melting pot. This is your brain on the Constitution. Honestly, these are the fruits of all men created equal, a nation of immigrant shit. This is what happens when you import it into Europe. You end up with this.
Oh God, that does even get better. The project will deliver important outcomes for the people who live in these neighborhoods, as well as for policymakers and politicians. There are a lot of opinions in the media and in politics on migration and diversity, but people who live their daily life in a diverse setting have a lot more to say about how they experience this. I fucking bet.
I bet they do, yeah. Well, this is again slightly boilerplate. The language games here are very, very funny. But the scarier bits of this are when you start getting into some of the papers that these people produce.
Yes.
If you look at the, this is the BAM project, it's bamproject.eu. I'll actually put them in the chat if people want to read along. If you go to their section that says output, a lot of these people are PhD candidates. And their output varies. It really started in about 2008, late 2018, early 2019, but they've been producing this stuff for years with this language of becoming a minority, this language of the great replacement from the other direction. Like what they're saying is all these European nations, the native populations, will become a minority, and that's a good thing. Here's why it's
Well,
a good thing.
here's.
Here's why saying it's not a good thing is racist.
Was it in this little one here in the PhD blog by Marina Lazeri? She talks about what she calls culturalist aftertaste of integration. Sorry, I'm flicking the thing about here, but it's just. There's this paragraph here is all you need. Investigating how people relate to the polity, its requirements, tasks, and assumptions is not necessarily problematic, nor is, in essence, drawing a distinction in how we study how people living for a long time in a polity relate to it as compared to people joining the polity along the way. Rather, what is problematic about integration is the hint of culturism that dominates the discourse in integration. By using the concept as we academics, policymakers, politicians, laypeople do, we explicitly or implicitly endorse one way of being in the polity, which comes loaded with preconceptions about cultural supremacy. There's your Motton Bailey. When we see it, we mean supremacy of the outside. When, oh, the policymakers and the laypeople see it, they mean supremacy of the inside.
Yes, it's laid bare there in that this is a very clear way of shifting the debate about native cultures, of European cultures, that there cannot be a discussion in which culture is retained. That is a preconception about cultural supremacy, that how dare these European people assume that their culture is should be supreme and should be respected. How
Oh
dare they?
God, I
And how
just, here comes the next line for you. Here comes the Trotskyite. Is the problem with integration then simply the way in which we speak about and use integration and the cultural assumptions behind it? This is hard to
Hello?
say.
You disappeared for a second there.
Sorry, shall I start from the start of that again there? Is the problem with integration then simply the way in which we speak about and use integration, and the cultural assumptions behind it? That is hard to say. Dismantling the way in which we do integration, whether in research or policy making, would go hand in hand with dismantling the nation state, and I don't think that's a task we are up to, in brackets, yet. Even if integration is only problematic because of our imaginations of what society should be, we can't easily strip our imagination of the society, which makes this more than a matter of semantics. The way in which we speak about social reality becomes social reality. Oh.
Jesus Christ. The whole thing about them talking about like dismantling the nation state.
God, yeah,
dismantling
this is
the way we do integration.
This is what this woman put forward to people for part of a PhD study, if you read further on here. Despite the critique on the concept of integration, what it denotes and the culturalism it perpetuates, we continue to live in nation states that keep demanding and producing these categories of difference. How to study the social reality in the polity then? In their latest final exam, I asked my students to help me out with this question. Let's see if they have insight. Oh.
So this is a teacher. This is somebody who's teaching people in a university as a PhD candidate. Social scientist at
Interdisciplinary social scientist and a PhD candidate at the Vrije University Amsterdam.
They're being taught that civic nationalism, the basic bitch civic nationalism, is equivalent to like white nationalism, and has this cultural supremacy edge to it that must be expunged at all costs, and that this is creating mass suffering in the world.
Yeah, no, people in the chat are starting to click, but what they actually wrote it. It's genuinely absurd to see them just admit to this shit. No, that's what we were like as well. We're like, there's got to be no way they're just like this upfront about it. But they are completely, and they just don't care.
It's just, like, again, the project is called Becoming a Minority, and it's about European peoples becoming minorities in their own country, but studied from a positive direction. Like I said, it's amazing. They've essentially adopted the Great Replacement Theory and gone, yes, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. This is why it's a good thing.
Well, it's so indicative of how political language, I would say leftist language, but I would steer clear of left-right dialectic as much as I can now. We'll just say political language.
Yeah.
Because you have your sort of critiquing critical theory, you're constantly, you know, attacking these ideas, and you're attacking them, and then you're eventually going to get to things that seem very, you know, nonchalant, who cares if they attack and come up with a new term for integration? And this is what happens when they do. They use integration as their workaround tool for making it a conversation not about how you're a host society, which was in the previous papers where they contextualized it at the start. And now we're, you know, further into this idea and slightly more developed, where it's now that, well, it's not really the host society, you're just the vehicle for actual real migrant people, because people who stay in their own countries aren't the norm. Migrants are the norm now. And it's, you know, it's through critiquing integration that they've got themselves to there. I tried to highlight that as well when I did my one on representation before, because they did the same thing with that. It went from, well, you've got to have the token, to tokenization is bad. You've got to have an over representation. It's now so absurd that it makes tokenization like almost sincere. And here we are with this thing again, where you just critique the thing round and round in circles all day, and just adopt what your enemies have pointed out as truth and say it's a good thing.
Oh, we had a quick donation there, £5 from Coney Current Year, asking about some rank punditry. Thoughts on Musk buying Twitter? Didn't you say it wasn't going to happen? I don't trust him as being some kind of savior. By the way,
has he actually bought it yet?
Yeah. No, he's not bought it yet. Twitter's now saying they won't let him buy it after all. They're going back to court again. Both of them keep alternately saying that the other doesn't want them to buy it, but they really do. And this is going to drag on for years, possibly. It's a hilarious farce. Come back when he's actually bought it.
Yeah.
We change glow in the dark again, saying we change the meaning of words and phrases to match what everyone wants to mean. Minority, majority reminds me of what conquerors use different tribes to oppress one another to gain compliance or gain dominance. It's the same process. It's a very similar old process in which you, if you have like a diaspora empire, it's what the Soviets did when they deported massive amounts of native peoples from their lands and essentially replaced them with kind of interchangeable Soviet socialist work camps.
Goodbye, Central European identities that were several centuries old. See ya.
Good. Bye-bye. Goodbye, the last remnants of the Khans. Like, the people forget that the Soviet Union in the 1920s had actual Khans in it, and they were basically genocided because they had too strong of a native identity. That's where this is going. You can't read the language there and say that's, you know, the whole yet thing not being coy. It's like, yeah, the
So
whole
what, they
point of
just
this.
do they do it on a grander scale this time? Instead of just like camps in Central Europe, there was just a full scale like US versus Russia war. The entirety of Europe gets turned into a concentration camp, and then they sign a peace treaty and ship literally every single one of us off to China.
Basically, well, there's another one here. There's like a trifecta
Oh,
here
this
because
one's great as well, because this then connects up, you know, their other, you know, colonial studies. And again, you get that kind of thing where they critique, they critique it from the
John
anti.
Morton saying Elon Musk is just white Kanye. That's funny.
But you know, they critique, and then they get to the point of, oh, well, let's look at immigration from the perspective of the immigrant or the colonized.
It's this one's hilarious because it says taking decolonization seriously, the problem with migration studies. So they're trying to decolonize the study essentially of native the movement of non-native peoples into native peoples. And they're saying that the native peoples have a colonial attitude to their own culture and their own country. It'd be again, it'd be absurd if it wasn't so evil. But it is absurd. Again, it's a great way of flipping the debate and saying, well, you have a colonizer mindset as a native person because you're not really native because, you know, we're all niggers from Africa, basically. And ha ha ha, nobody's really from anywhere. So you've socially constructed yourself into a native person when you're really not. That's the argument. I'll go into the other language here, but that's the overarching kind of metaphysics here. That nobody is really from anywhere, and to think you are from somewhere as a non-diaspora is to be a colonizer.
Yeah, there is little research that explicitly, this is from a few paragraphs down, that explicitly brings these areas of knowledge together, talking about immigration, empire, coloniality, and racism. Bambra argues that in migration and refugee studies, the one thing that appears to be missing is a historical contextualization. These inadequate histories mean that some people have the present day privilege of citizenship, and others, migrants or refugees, are denied, even though many of the latter two categories of people were at one time citizens of European empires. Is it this amnesia within European politics reproduced within migration studies which enables people of colour coming to Europe to be labelled as migrants?
They're basically denying that migrants exist, which is I don't know, it's a bold gambit, but yeah, they're saying that, well, because people moved around and because borders moved around in Europe, countries aren't real, therefore migrants aren't real. How can migrants be real if our borders aren't real?
So wait, are we all Americans now by this logic?
Apparently, the
Shit.
whole concept of migration is racialized. Well, of course it is. And reproduces racist hierarchy. Well, how I don't know how you could have non-racialized migration when you have what people from one ethnic group moving into the lands of people of another ethnic group. It is quite literally inherent to the concept of migration that you have some form of racial conflict. It's in saying that it is mired in it and you need to
Yeah.
de-racialize the concept is absurd, but deliberately absurd.
The line of mobility is an explicitly racialized line that emerges in the context of decolonization and the movement of darker citizens to the metropole. The movements of wealthy white people are clearly not labeled migration, but rather mobility. Aye, because they fucking go back. My doctoral research, which explores how people experience integration courses in Belgium, affirms that many people feel that the label of immigrant is stigmatizing.
Well, go back to where you fucking came from, then.
Yeah, be mobile.
Go back to where you belong.
Don't we need to radically rethink the ontological foundations of migration studies?
And now
it's getting into, like, rhetoric here. This is almost hilarious. They're talking about how some Western Europe migrants need to integrate for the best socioeconomic, political, and cultural outcomes. This integration imperative is applied to both individuals and particular groups. This grouping is highly problematic. It draws boundaries between other than them, migrants and citizens. And just how does one integrate oneself, and into what exactly? One of the biggest problems with integration is that it assumes there is something like a native standard of behaviour that migrants should strive towards. And yet, even if people attain the impossibly high standards that are set for them, that's a bit racist, don't you think? They have still not arrived. They are always in a liminal space in the process of arriving.
Did a Reddit algorithm write
this?
Yeah,
colonial and racist hierarchies mean that you are not one of us, even if you were born here and have the same nationality. In Western Europe, integration implies a colonial understanding of society that is white, problem-free, and homogenous.
Well, yeah, that's what it used to be before you shipped all the fucking stabby brown people here. People remember that.
But no, it's like, it almost is, you know, it's almost like good rage bait, except from it's like a hidden study you have to go really digging for. It's kind of funny.
It's this person, they are incensed, they are raging against the idea that people once lived here and were once a happy society of homogenous people that knew each other and saw people who were outsiders as outsiders. This is the rage against traditionalism, kind of at its rawest, that the traditional ideas of a society, even in like a pre-World War II, post-1900 sense, even in like the modern gay fallen nationalist sense, so incenses this person. Their dry academic language has degraded into this screed against people thinking they belong somewhere and thinking that they have shared values with other people. It shows you like this is why I have no qualms about saying that these people are evil. Because this is so nakedly evil. It is so nakedly evil. And it's so terrible when it comes to how it affects people when it's applied in the real world.
Glow in the dark with $5 super chat. Living memory is racist because you can remember non-diverse high trust societies.
Exactly. It's basically what they're saying, though.
Well, no, was it not in the inverse that they argued that it was some form of like European amnesia?
Yeah.
That the whites living today didn't recognise Indians as fellow Brits. I don't think they did that during the British Empire either.
Well, it's the whole thing that the people of Central and Western Europe are like racially and socially a lot closer to each other. Therefore, they have a much easier time integrating into each other's societies. And even then, there hasn't been a lot of mass movement in places like Britain. I think most people genetically until about 1950 had been in Britain since about AD 300, they figured out. And you can track people's genetic makeup and trading and slight movement of peoples by those who have like Irish and Viking blood in static coastal communities. It's amusing how genetically and culturally kind of stable Britain was for a thousand years, but that apparently doesn't exist. It's European amnesia because World War II happened and people had to move around because the World Bank had to sell more bonds.
I'm actually surprised that this one at the start, this is the Shifting the Focus of Ethnic Villages article. Actually,
Roger the Shrubber saying the porn bot's making a bigger argument than this person. Here's my favourite one because I think it's the most evil.
Well, see, you say that, is that because it actually starts by admitting that, like, white native people actually exist, but only admits they exist so they could have to
So it
suggest
can
the fact.
denigrate them, yes.
Yeah.
They make a small admission of reality, and then they beat reality with a giant stick. It's can I? I'll tackle this one then.
On you go.
It's called Shifting the Focus of Ethnic Villages, and it's from 2019. It's one of the earlier ones. It says, in the past couple of months, I did field work in Vienna for my PhD project, Becoming a Minority. It seems all these people have been given this brief. Where I also joined, this is by someone called Lisa Marie Krauss, by the way, where I also joined a course in urban sociology.
So
One of
wait,
the topics.
we can quickly come back here for a second though. There was an EU-funded project that incentivized, from what we can gather out of this, doctors of social science, social studies, this, that, and the next thing, to give their PhD students the question to consider of becoming a minority.
Yeah, specifically framed around the native peoples of Europe, that there was a centrally funded kind of EU commission document handed to these people, that this is the rhetoric they need to come out with, because that's where this all comes from. The BAM project is an EU project, which has been over. It's a .EU address, and it is completely funded by the European Research Council. So they are the ones who have both. They've become both the assessor and the seller, you know what I mean? They set the price and then sell the goods. They are the ones completely in control of the debate and the process. So these people are echoing back what the European Research Council has essentially told them to say. This isn't some, again, a lot of people think of these as fringe activists doing this on their own, but they are not. They are simply speaking the rhetoric that the power structure has incentivized them to speak through funding this wholeheartedly. Again, this is a EU project. These are the words of the European Union. This is what the European Union actually believes. These aren't just the views of the fringe activists. And we can't make the mistake of believing that, whatever, Lisa Marie Krauss is the one who's come up with this and is actually pushing it and is in power. It is not. There are the European technocrats, politicians, and kingmakers behind the scenes who are the ones who are setting this policy and using it as a manufacturing of consent engine, where they reach down, tell social scientists what they want to hear, the social scientists say it, and then the EU goes, look, we have all this research from these independent people who says, by the way, no one's ever been European. Isn't that great? That's how the sausage gets made. That's how this process always works. That's how the NGOs do it. That's how we saw that massive list of everyone from the Rockefeller Foundation to Kellogg to a dozen world
World
governments, to
Bank,
the World Bank, the Open
Ford
Society Foundation.
Foundation.
All of these people are behind this. All of them. You can't see this as some kind of emergent phenomena, and you can't see this as anything but centrally planned evil. It's very, very, very obvious when you look at it, and it's the language is becoming so overt. Like I said, they are doing the great replacement from the other direction openly, and this, like I said, this shifting the focus of ethnic villages is my favorite one. I'll keep going here. One of the topics discussed in the course was ethnic villages, an academic subfield mainly concerned with explaining why immigrants tend to cluster in certain urban areas and what implication this has on their integration process. It reminds me of the Murdoch Jordan Peterson sketch. Oh, why don't the birds play with the bugs? Haven't they read Solzhenitsyn? Don't they know about the dragon? So yes, why do people of similar ethnic and cultural backgrounds self-segregate and create communities that reflect that ethnic and social background? It is a mystery.
I actually can't imagine what you need to have as experience and sort of, I don't know, bizarre multiracial admixture that makes you actually think like that. Like, you need to be like, why would they do this? Why? Oh, I'm racking my brain. Why would the people who are similar stay together?
Why do people who speak the same language form communities? Why do people with the same cultural values form communities and become
Yeah,
insular within them?
like
Which is a mystery.
Fez has come up with an idea, literally trying to establish even more colonies. Yeah, they're just establishing the colonies back in Europe.
Yes,
Yeah,
exactly.
can you guys do what you did before, but do it here?
Okay, this made me wonder. Do again, here's the buzzword. Do people without a migration background, so this word has existed since at least 2019, in highly diverse cities not cluster just as much as people with migration background? If so, why is the segregation of white native descent rarely problematized in public discourse? Here's what's happening. They're trying to define traditional villages, native villages of native Austrians, because in Vienna, as white segregated ghettos. They're trying to say that communities that haven't yet had immigrants fire hosed into them are problematic and that they are in some way unnatural white
Yeah,
ghettos, native ghettos.
it's an argument for forced forced integration in the desegregational sense. You know,
It's
the
busing.
yeah, aye, exactly. It's an argument for
No
saying the fact
cap.
that you've got to have them here because otherwise it's inhumane if you don't mix with them.
Well, it goes on to say today more than 54% of the inhabitants of Vienna have a migration background. This means that the capital of Austria does not host an ethnic majority anymore, with ethnic Austrians being another numerical minority. In it, on a city and neighborhood level. Within this city, the composition of ethnic Austrians varies across districts and neighborhoods, and we can see there is also a cluster, but they do cluster in ethnic villages. One of these villages is the Per Alban Assen settlement in the otherwise greatly diverse 10th district, Favoriten. Okay, this settlement was the first major housing estate after the Second World War and is seen as a symbol of successful Viennese housing policy. Smaller areas within Per Albin Hansen settlement host about 1,300 inhabitants, of which only 15% are non-ethnic Austrians. So 15% of this community is non-native, and that's a huge problem to you. So it goes on to say, so why is it okay for people of white native descent to cluster, but not for non-natives? They're saying, well, we have all this. The only reason that people criticize the immigrant ghettos is because of the crime and squalor they perpetuate. People wouldn't care if these were nice places to live, generally, or they wouldn't notice as much. The entire discussion around ghettoization is because you have, say, non-native Islamic communities who keep blowing things up because they are in these ghettos, or you have non-native populations who keep, burning things down and stealing things because they're in these ghettos. And it's also because Austria is a white nation of natively white people, and native Austrians are white. And this is what a country looks like before you destroy it with uncontrolled mass immigration. Again, they're reversing reality and saying that the norms of a society where you have native people living in native communities talking to other native people as a majority is ghettoization.
Well, yeah, no,
It's
it's
problematic, and it is racialization.
they pull the kind of switcheroo, as it were, defined as a neighborhood or larger territory whose population is largely ethnically distinguished from the surrounding area and its inhabitants. It is funny to see how much roundabout language there is here. So-called ethnic villages are today often presented as a problem, both in the public and the scholarly discourse. The concentration of ethnicities in a certain geographical area is seen as a threat to social cohesion, since ethnic enclaves are assumed to have undesirable effects on the integration of ethnic minorities and hinder inter-ethnic relationships. So European countries are now ethnic enclaves. As Albers 2004 points out, among politicians and the general public, it is widely assumed that the existence of an ethnic village, or in other words, the spatial segregation and concentration of ethnic groups, is undesirable, problematic, and even dangerous.
The reason that you differentiate between native and non-native peoples It's because you have a country. It's because you have a people. You have a people who live in a country. It's that basic. You have Austrians who live in Austria. And when you have large concentrations of non-Austrians with counter ideals, counter morals, a completely different culture, you end up with conflict because that's how race and culture work. It's again, you're right, if this person is being earnest, if they're not just being Machiavellian and trying to put forward a wedge argument to create their weird pod society, if they genuinely think like that, I cannot fathom the brain damage they must have to not understand that there is a distinction between native and non-native populations within that country. It is so like, pretending to be retarded. I'm actually having trouble believing this person is earnest.
Well, it gets worse as we continue on here.
Oh no.
Shall I, or?
Yeah, go ahead, I've heard enough.
The thing is, however, that it seems like only some groups are seen as problematic when clustering in certain areas, whereas the segregation of the visible or non-white other is perceived as an issue. The integration of so-called expatriates, that is, mostly white, higher educated or skilled workers who work outside their home country, is not put forward to be questioned. Some paper in 2015 illustrates this nicely in his article by asking, why are white people expats when the rest of us are immigrants?
Because they contribute to a society and don't blow things up, you fucking
discussions
idiot.
Rarely revolve around the segregation of either native descent or other white populations. This view emphasizes the idea that people of native descent, or whites in general, are ethnicity free, and the undesirable effects of segregation to almost exclusively apply to the other. This might also explain why the clustering of white people without a migration background is seldom seen as a problem, and just because they are the majority on the country level doesn't mean that cultural integration is a one-way street in a highly diverse societies. So this writer is essentially getting to the end point of what the other woman was saying, which is, my God, you people founded a nation state. Aren't you evil?
Yeah, it's like, why isn't there people flogging themselves in every village in Austria for the fact that they're not 50% black by now? It really is. I cannot watch this too angry. this is where we are. This is an EU-funded study. Again, these aren't just cranks. Glow in the Dark $10 says, I doubt these people would like it if Russian government decided to run parts of Europe and America. All governments are the same, guys. Why are you so pissed, Mr. Manager? Yeah, it's very one world, one people, one race, human race stuff.
I'm gonna go for the final paragraph here for the full blood boil.
Go for it.
Continuing to exclude white ethnic villages from the segregation discourse reinforces the idea of whiteness, not seen that term in a while, and the native ethnicity is being the norm. The default identity that does not need to be questioned. It supports the assumption that people of white, in brackets, native descent do not have an ethnic background, nor do they have to be integrated into highly diverse cities. Especially with demographics shifting now, having cities in Europe which do not host a clear majority anymore, it becomes all the more important that no group is bypassed in discussions around segregation.
Well done. You are now an immigrant in your own country. This is what it's saying. We need to make native European people feel like immigrants in their own country. We need to completely destroy their sense of belonging and turn them into native refugees and have essentially struggle sessions with them in which they go into their communities and we tell them, this isn't your community anymore. Nobody lives here. Nobody has ever lived here. And you will cooperate.
Well, it's as we've
incredibly dark language.
As we've seen, also Austrian villages exist, but instead of being problematized, they are being praised. A shift needs to happen that acknowledges the new demographic circumstances in highly diverse cities. Not only do you need to have the influx of migrants, you need to be aware of it, and you better celebrate it.
Only labeling non-whites ethnic is problematic as it suggests that native whiteness is, well, it is the norm. You live in Austria. Being white and Austrian is normal in Austria. the argument here is it is that being British ethnically, being seen as normal in Britain or in any European country, is a crime.
Well, no, it's just it's. I don't think I've ever actually seen, and there's probably more of it out there, but you know, this direct language coming from an institution or support from an institution as big as the EU saying this about Europeans. We've seen this stuff in America before, because I think it's an easier game to play.
But oh,
when it
is.
Comes to this,
nation of immigrants, no one's from anywhere, yeah, blah, 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 Native Americans.
Instead of dealing and jumping through the extra hoops to make that argument, they're just pulling a switcheroo on us all. And they're just going to destroy it all anyway.
There's another part of the equation, which is the putting forward within this language that the turning of European people into minority within their own countries has been a neutral, natural emergent, and it's just kind of stepped over. It's
excuse me? Well, that's just a process of history, man.
Yeah, that's just it's just, again, it's like Americans and Canadians can't understand this because they have like psychic brain damage and do not understand the concept of belonging somewhere because they never have. That's my ultimate problem, I think, with most people who try and tackle this from America.
Sorry, Grayson Nielsen's got the right idea in chat. Sorry. Joseph Fritzl lived in an Austrian village, so the game's a bogey. We can't have white society anymore because Joseph Fritzl was alive. Oh well, pack up shop. See yous.
There we go. It's the god. Yeah, he was the old. He was just trying to keep Austria ethnically pure. It's the Fritzl redemption arc.
Oh, see, I noticed as well. We've got a quick BBC one here. When was this from exactly? It's got a date on it. Oh, is this a program thing you've linked here? My Perfect City integration in Rotterdam.
This basically, we're not going to watch it here, but this basically is the people from this project put on the BBC.
What I'll quickly do is I'll quickly chuck the link in chat then.
This is Rotterdam is lauded for its policies and integration of immigrant population in the city. What exactly has it got right? It's basically using this rhetoric, the BBC World Service, of saying that no one is from anywhere, we are all immigrants, even native peoples are immigrants, and lol, just deal with it.
Hmm.
There's a few things here as well.
University
if you look,
of Birmingham.
This person is from the... where is it? So if you go back to the previous article...
give me a second. You're talking about the last of the IM...
Decolonization one, yeah. Yeah. If you look at who wrote it, they're called Marie Tooley, and they're at the University of Sussex. They're actually British. And they write for a project, just to go down the rabbit hole, called, if you go to the bottom there and look at their bio, the Center for the Study of Democracy, Signification and Resistance.
Oh my god. Desire.
Yes. And it explicitly uses the term political democracy. It's amazing. Study of the logics of power.
Oh, unbased.
It's basically them doing Schmidt backwards and saying democracy good.
The areas of interest. Production and use of communication, propaganda. Politics of life, ideologies, propaganda. Empowerment and activism, vanguardism. It evaluates their democratic potential and analyzes the complex power dynamics of empowerment. Oh god, it's just nonsense.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see, what publications do they have?
Power, Contingency, and Social Political Struggle.
Oh, the Journal of Language and Politics, Discourse Theory.
Again, this is the level that they operate on. Again, they're doing their own Schmidt thing, but from the other direction.
Power, Contingency, and Socio-Political Struggle. I bet you these books are all about £500 as well. God, Populism in the Pandemic, The Discursive Limits of Left Populism. Doing Justice to the Agental Material, a Reflection on a Non-Hierarchical Repositioning of the Discursive... Oh, Jesus.
I thought we were an autonomous collective.
Yeah.
Some lovely muck down here.
Oh, look at some of these. Look at the physiognomies and some of these
There's some big.
contributors.
Well, there's we didn't talk about it in the piece because I didn't want to go into some of the insider language, but once we've done the physiognomy check, we should talk about a term that's used in a few of these, which is superdiversity, which is a kind of hilarious and frightening term. John Morton, do you think these people realize they're evil? To an extent, I think they do, but they are perpetuated against an out-group, which is us. So they are very, very gleeful.
They are agitated into
evil.
Thinking they are good.
Yes, because we are the existential enemy, and therefore nothing arrayed against us can be wrong. I do think that these people know that what they say is meant to destroy a class of people, and that class of people is us.
Yeah. yeah. About super diversity, the social landscape of Britain and other countries of immigration. Is that what we are now? We're countries of immigration.
It's like people of colour, countries of immigration.
Yeah, we're COIs, as opposed to COEs, which would be third world.
Yeah.
See if that one crops up at some point. Have been transformed in the past 2 decades. The arrival of migrants from many different countries combined with longer established minority populations has resulted in an unprecedented variety of cultures, identities, faiths, languages, and immigration statuses. Surely there's only one of two statuses. You either are one or you're not.
Or you're not. But as we've seen, they're saying that, well, you have the native immigrants.
Yeah, these new patterns have emerged from greater speed, scale, and spread of diversity than ever before.
Revolution, mass, and scale?
Ugh, I know it. Furthermore, super diverse populations tend to change rapidly and are often fragmented rather than clustered in geographical locations. All these factors combine, meaning that super diversity presents unparalleled challenges and opportunities to policymakers and practitioners, as well as to businesses, communities, and migrants. See, is this also as well them sort of opening up the discussion for how to draw up policy that allows them to engage in using the security state against the multi-ethnic jungle that Europe is going to be?
Yes. That's kind of what this says in a roundabout way. Birmingham, as one of the UK's most diverse and soon to be one of several so-called minority-majority cities, here's that language again, exemplifies the changes associated with the emergence of superdiversity. Superdiversity is often an issue high on the European Union's agenda in relation to internal movement of labour, as well as questions about Europe's borders and future enlargement. And there are global dimensions as a result of the increased opportunities for legal and illegal immigration. What? It's just the way that they're going, oh yeah, illegal immigrants, they exist, they're fine, they're great, they're part of this debate. You know, it's stepping over that. The attractiveness of Europe, the UK, and Birmingham to refugees, asylum seekers, and economic migrants, especially from parts of the world undergoing civil war or facing environmental degradation. Much of Europe and the developed world have already become super diverse. Super diversity is here to stay. it's again neutral point. This idea of that we are now like several inception layers deep within the immigration game, and that you will never, ever, ever, ever undo any of this. It's like, well, we're just gonna have to deal with it. So, yeah, it's very, very. Again, neutral language talking about a set ostensibly evil things. The things that we were told would never happen. Super diversity, minority, majority, becoming a minority, people without migration backgrounds, all of these terms are used. When you will start to see this language increasingly in the public sphere. A lot of people talk about like the gender shit ad nauseum. But a lot of that stuff is about getting people used to this. It's about getting people used to the idea of fluidity of identity. And as much of a distraction that stuff can be, this is the real. But they're gonna hit this like 2030. This will be in every school child's textbook. This will be how children are taught to think about their identity, the world, countries, and borders. That they do not exist, they have never existed, native people have never existed, and that they are all on an equal footing as native migrants with someone fresh off the boat, and to think that they have any standing within their own country will be seen as the pinnacle of fascism. Because there's something that's always bandied about around people who want to self-segregate in some way, as we've seen a lot of people using that as a signifier. You get people talking about, what is it? I've seen multiple people now talk about, like, was it libertarian fascists?
Mm.
And talking about fascism as when people want to go off and make their own communities is fascism.
Yeah, I want to do things for myself. Why are you such a fascist?
But it's not people just being facetious. This is what the center, in quotes, is being convinced of. This is the neutral central position of politics now, that if you do not wish to participate in the mass society to its full extent, you are an other who needs to be dealt with. That is the language. And we've seen it here in full force, that if you do not believe that you are a minority in your own country, that you are on the same footing as anybody who was born anywhere else in the earth, that to have a nation, to have a culture, to have a family.
I have to admit,
even
whilst you've been talking there, I've been scrolling through a paper on the Tony Blair Institute for Global Change. We can get to it in a minute after we get, because
we found it.
Well, this is a lot more interesting than I thought it would be, but we'll quickly go over this thing first, which is again another example of where they're formalizing this academic language. Signaling inclusion, increasing belonging, people with a migration background in ethnically diverse neighborhoods. Again, Lisa Marie Krauss. This is basically the, yeah, many cities in Western Europe have become super diverse. I believe it's just another source for pretty much, this is probably more formally a doctorate paper, but yeah.
You will see all of this in textbooks, though. This is the narrative going forward, I believe.
I'm just going to start here from about, this is about a third of the way down here. This is a bloody long thing, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Political scientist Francis Fukuyama has claimed that in the second decade of the 21st century, the traditional left-right spectrum is giving way to a new one defined by identity. While the right is reframing its mission around protecting traditional national identity, an identity that is often explicitly connected to race, ethnicity or religion, the left, rather than building solidarity around large collectivities such as working class or economically exploited, has focused on even smaller groups being marginalised in specific ways. In this sense, both populists and the left and the right obsess over and essentialise rigid concepts of identity rooted in race, ethnicity and religion rather than focus on addressing the multifaceted nature of identity in an increasingly globalised world. I'm just like, I really wasn't expecting to open this up and flick through and find like Francis Fukuyama as a source, and then Eric Kaufman.
Of course. Well, of course they're using that.
I wasn't quite expecting it. I will say there is this article is huge. This is one we could probably do a whole thing on itself.
Yeah.
But there is, from what I briefly flicked through, this is basically Blair doing like the, you know, why integration matters, and then playing the position that's...
Did you link that?
I can put the link in the chat, yeah. This is him basically putting forward the case for why civic nationalism will be based when he makes his return.
It's this. This is what I thought was going to happen. I don't know where you put this. Sorry.
In the YouTube chat.
Okay. The glue that binds integration in a time of populism. I think, again, the genius of Blair is redefining leftism as the centre-right position.
Mm.
Or the leftism of yesterday in the centre-right position. Tommy, you can remember,
yeah, here's their figure six process of integration. They've got like their Maslow's hierarchy of immigrant needs.
Yeah.
Central foundations, obey the law, speak the language, pay taxes, respect national heritage, equal opportunities, non-discrimination, openness, civic identity, that's part of having a stake in society. And the top of that is emotional attachment, shared national symbols, cultural affinity. As long as you can get your haggis onion badgie, there's, you know, things can only get better.
Sequencing is critical with the consensus on the ground rules required before deeper integration established. This report argues for a process that consists of three discrete steps. First, government's clarify required. Foundations unlock a broadly held commitment of equality and opportunity. The level of integration is about emotional attachment to national identity. Basically, yes, what they're trying to do is that this is them setting up the competing and losing ideology, by the way. This is, I think, a narrative that is meant to lose.
Mm.
There will be a compromise point, in quotes, between what is raw, like, kind of the last shreds of civic nationalism, the very, very, what we would consider progress edge of civic nationalism that's being put forward here. This is the acceptable counter argument to the becoming a minority stuff. This is
if you read the bottom two paragraphs of this section here, it admits exactly what you're talking about. Getting the sequencing right allows expectations to be set in the right way. The majority in a host country is right to expect minorities to adopt the core values that underpin integration, not that underpin the nation, mind. However, it is unrealistic to expect unintegrated groups to subscribe to a shared identity simply through residence in a country, isn't half. Policymakers must recognise that individuals will struggle, at least initially, to feel an emotive bond to a new country if they lack a sense of ownership or stake in its future. So hand control over them then. Our model forges a new path through the divisions identified above between economics and culture and between multiculturalism and assimilation. It views the values of a country as critically important and expects every group to make a concerted effort to abide by them. While maintaining a role for diverse cultural perspectives, it accepts that access to long-term opportunities is a crucial part of making that happen. It favours a single unified story over parallel lives and asks every group to contribute to a common culture. There we go.
Yes. They're basically saying the same thing, but pretending to say a different thing. They're talking about a middle path between multiculturalism and assimilation. They're essentially saying assimilation bad. So they are once again talking about the meeting in the middle effect. They're just doing it whilst pretending to be the civic nationalists, which is something that Tony Blair has done consistently throughout his political life, in which he will pretend to adopt the center or center right or quote unquote sane position. But he will really be arguing for the opposite position, just using different rhetoric.
Mm.
It's an amazing trick to pull off. It also allows the establishment to argue with itself, while substantively arguing the same thing in both pieces.
He's speaking out of two sides of the one mouth to say two things that actually mean the same.
It's again. Once you recognize what they're doing, it's genius, because it's the same thing that's happening in, you know, the Magenda debate, in that they've got idiots like fucking Carl to start parroting turf rhetoric and talk about how the second wave feminists are actually our friends. I think that is one of the stupidest things that people in the, you know, ostensibly anti-SJW sphere have done. And it is negative 100 IQ tactics to try and integrate people like J.K. Rowling, who are outward, like, Labour voting, traditional new Labour leftists, into your movement and then redefine that as the conservative position. You are surrendering swathes of ground and not realizing it because, quite frankly, you're not intelligent enough to realize it. It's maddening, and it's something that when I try to explain to people, they just look at me like a dog who's been shown a card trick. It is so dense. Yeah, Le-based radfems. I hate it so much, because this is how you get based Blair. This is how you get civic nationalism is the based position. And it's coming. When we talk about these policy papers, when we talked about the ESG stuff, we've talked about, God, we even had Radlib 6 months ago talking about oil pipelines being blown up and shit like that. It's like they're telegraphing their attacks. You can kind of see like Tony Blair off in the distance, like windmilling one arm going, Civic nationalism isn't that based compared to this white ethnic enclaves rhetoric. I can't fathom why people keep falling for this. The enemy of your enemy is not your friend, especially when it's being posited as such by your enemies. Learn basic political tactics, please,
I know. I would like
and do
see. It
not fall
wouldn't
for
bother me.
this.
Like, if people spent their time agitating TERFs against leftists and making them all waste each other's time, great. But sitting talking about it all day, nah.
Well,
Just
that's the.
be safe in the knowledge that it's happening. And if you can spend 5 minutes of your time to stir that because it's funny, kind of like go ahead, knock yourself out. We all do it, but. Then making that some sort of grand strategy or something to think on in any sort of serious manner is just laughable.
I just there's all those people who are trying to protect the legal definition of woman
Well,
who see
I
themselves
see
as
the same
white
as well in
nationalists,
like
some of them.
in some of like your sort of Christian circles when they're trying to like really bat and root for that. And I can understand why, but the vast majority is an example. Sorry, the vast majority of examples I am constantly given are black conservatives, or black
Yes.
conservatives, sorry, like black Christian conservatives. I'll leave that there,
But it very much again it is it's the any port in a storm attitude. It's people who are so hungry for any form of political acceptance, they're willing to embrace the discarded shell of their enemy's rhetoric from yesteryear, of the previous pull of the ratchet. And I think we're going to see that with immigration. We're going to see especially when it comes to people like Shadid Javid, any of the Indo-Pakistan government, they'll be put forward as great examples of integrated British people, and that these people are our friends, and we just need to move back to an assimilation. The rhetoric on the right is going to become immigration is not a problem. We just need to move back to an assimilation model.
yeah, we just need better integration, guys. We just need to give them a better version of white European culture to adapt to. So you're gonna have no choice but McDonald's and pop music. I don't know, I think we should probably bring it towards an end anyways, so we can leave it as
Yes,
somewhat
yes.
concise. I'm hoping as well that this is gonna be a bit like some of the streams we've done on things like rewilding or the ESG stuff or green capital. You know, if you see people asking about this or they're sharing about that I'm becoming a minority document that loads of people were cheering about on Telegram. You know, share this around with it because not everyone's going to take the time to read through all that stuff as we did, but they might be more likely to sit and listen to 90 minutes of people actually talking about it because I think there's enough stuff in here that we need to at least keep an eye on it and see if these terms start to pop up and whether or not journalists and politicians directly on the mainstream talking to the normies, not necessarily talking to their fellow elites, you really start to delve into this stuff.
I think we will start seeing, like I said, the pipeline is not that short, and it's really started coming to bear 2019, and I think that over the next couple of years we'll really, really, really start seeing it as a big, big push in the media of why do you think immigration is even capable of being a problem, and why do you think anyone anywhere could control it?
I will also quickly mention before we go, well, I will do another thing before that. I will thank all the people that have shown up and watched through the stream. We've held some pretty good numbers from about a good sort of 15, 20
Yes,
minutes onwards, so.
I'm gonna have a quick go through. Another donation here from Lunderdark. Sorry, I missed this one. I'd like to cross-examine the hippie culture and words with the globalist idea. It kind of reminds me of the ideal commies become USSR. Hippies wanted many of these talking points, but it became this. Yeah, it. I the thing is, like I said earlier, it's hard to distinguish between who is a Machiavellian and who is a true believer. And ultimately, I don't think it matters because the end result is still evil, whether they really do buy into it or whether they're doing it cynically.
And yes, as Fez is saying in chat, buy your tickets for Nomos. As you said earlier
Yes,
on,
yes. I was going to.
we've sold about half of them. It's less than 3 weeks out. And if it's anything like the events we did last time, those other half of the tickets are going to start going pretty quick. So
Yes.
buy them now. Buy them now.
You can find our writing output on Anti-Politics. We don't post there as often as we probably should. But that is where our written content is. I have a load of stuff on the shelf I'm currently reading around. I'm going to have a big dearth of content at some point when I get done with my kind of reading and research list. But I've kind of gone into a phase of going back and researching because I haven't really researched enough stuff, I think, to do certain subjects justice. So I'm widening my reading, and it's been quite rewarding. It doesn't help. I've been a little bit ill the past few weeks. Hopefully that should be getting sorted later this year. But I will continue to try and do our best. We'll be streaming on Thursday, I think.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what we might be streaming on. It might be slightly more of a catch-up stream if there isn't something directly to go on. I mean, I might want to just add as well that, like, big up Madman Vlad for actually, like, taking the kid gloves off and basically flattening a country's power and water grid.
Well, it was bound to happen. Yeah. Oh no, guys. Oh no, not the Chunguses.
Yeah, not the Ukrainarinos.
I had a bunch of people sharing really cringy, like, NATO memes of ha-ha bridge memes, and I'm tempted to just Photoshop a bunch of, like, Chunguses with crossed-out eyes in the center of Kiev, but it might upset a few people.
Well, no,
you can't meme that. People die.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's...
Yeah, no, like nobody dies in Ukrainian airstrikes, I'm sure.
Yeah, everyone's been running around calling Putin a wuss, and he's not got the cojones, he won't do it. You know, it's like almost the perfect, it's the switcheroo they play every time. They humiliate you because you won't do it, and then when you do it, you're Hitler.
Yes, exactly.
So
I'm
hoping to get
happens.
Up tomorrow morning. There's at least another good 40-50 cruise missiles fired over from the Black Sea. Now that I see the Belarusians don't care about missiles flying through their airspace.
Oh dear. Well, winter's coming. It's the ultimate serial kid meme. Yes, I agree. But we might talk about that next time. Actually, we could maybe tackle a little bit of the geopolitical stuff on Thursday and have a bit of a sit rep because we haven't done that for a while. I might actually go into my spiel of why we predicted that this war wouldn't happen, because I did to quickly ruin my point. Tactically, it was very inept. And if Putin was going to go in, it should have gone in 2014.
Mm.
And it was a grave mistake on his part. It really shows that he's not a Western stooge, but he was pretty close for a while. That he is not.
I think,
like,
he is also
hardcore.
the small dog trapped in the corner. I mean, what else is it meant to do?
Yes, really. It's not a sign of a grand strategist who has an existential dislike of the West. I'll put it that way. But this is bleeding over, so I'm going to thank you guys for coming. Please do buy some of the tickets for Nomos. I'd love to see more of you there. Again, we'll be streaming on Thursday. To shill properly, please also do interact with these videos. I hate to say comment, like, subscribe, but it's the only way oblivion.
Yeah, no, I see people in the comments just drop a little, you know, prayer emoji for the algorithm gods or a wee plus one or something. I see people doing it.
Yeah,
we shouldn't have to worship these things, but at the end of the day, it's the only way this stuff gets out.
This is as far as I will go with playing the game.
Mm.
We're not going to moderate the content, but simply interacting with it will make it more visible. So that is, if you don't, you know, have the means or the will to give monetarily or help us out on some of our project, which is a good thing. I've had a lot of people volunteering topics, information, stuff that has actually gone places, so thank you guys who contact me with that stuff. It's very worthwhile. But if you don't have the time or the kind of you don't really have anything else you can do, you feel interacting with our content is the best way forward. But I'll stop rambling now and say good night.
Good night.
Thank you for watching. I just saw, like,